Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's up to us, ladies and gentlemen, we the people. I mean, this is what our government is all about, at the very top, not at the bottom. I know elites would want us to be at the bottom, but the org chart was clearly defined by our founding fathers, and that is that these politicians serve at the behest of we the people. And we have a very, very important election coming up, as you know. And a statement has to be made by the American people if we're going to get this country back on track. And hopefully you are all in. Meanwhile, as the ruckus, and I guess ruckus is a mild term, but the civil unrest that's taking place, whether it's in Chicago, if you saw the footage of what happened there, I mean, and this isn't off of some beaten, I mean, this is the Miracle Mile in Chicago that all this insanity took place. And the devastation that's taking place, and what a lot of people are saying is like, wait a minute, this thing's getting out of control here. Now, is there going to be a reaction from, rest of, America that's going to say enough of this, looking at the lawlessness that's taking place? And where we find ourselves at is that, as our next guest, Bruce Thatcher, is saying, Americans may defend themselves if their governments don't or won't. He is the founder of History Speaks, author of Gun Mania, says guns are a core element of American culture. Such cultural elements change only very slowly over many generations. Any attempt to politically excise guns from American culture will fail. They've been failing, right, Bruce Thatcher?
That's right, and they'll continue to fail. The statistics of what's happening, of what Americans are doing in response to what they perceive as government failures to do their job, are just staggering. All kinds of records being set on gun sales, and one of the most remarkable things about it is that perhaps 50% or so of those gun sales are to first-time buyers. Wall Street Journal reported that 58.2% of the gun sales in the first 6 months of this year are to Black Americans. So there's no demographic limitation to it.
Exactly.
Everybody, all demographics are saying, in effect, I'm going to protect myself, and I have a right to do this.
Well, did you think it was ludicrous of Mayor Lightfoot? She said here recently, says, because here you got Chicago with, every weekend. I mean, you think you're tuning in for something from, remember Vietnam reports when we were growing up, and you'd hear about what was going on in Vietnam. You get these body counts. And every weekend, it's like you get these body counts and these shootings that take place in Chicago. And she says, those guns are coming from outside of the state. Really?
Well, maybe they are, but what? So what?
Yeah.
I don't think they are coming from outside of the state, but so what if they are?
Right.
The fact is that Americans are going to buy guns to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. When the first settlers came to North America, they brought guns with them. They brought guns to Plymouth Rock and to Virginia. They brought those guns for hunting, yes, for sustenance, and for protection.
Exactly.
And they use those guns for 200 years for those purposes. Having guns was even enforced by law with some of the colonies for a time. And then they use the guns to fight a revolution and gain our independence. The guns are absolutely glued into this country's culture, and the reaction of people who feel helpless with any other with their governments is going to be to use their rights.
It's a critical redress to a runaway government, is it not?
Yeah. We're the only country in the world where the government is subservient to the people, theoretically. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're the only country in the world that has the right of the citizens to own personal guns written right into the Constitution. And we've heard, listened for years about from people, the anti-gun people, who say this is just absolutely awful. This is passé. We don't need to do it. We need to get rid of it. And now we're saying, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the attacks on the NRA from, you know, the state of New York?
Well, I think that it is political, of course. I think that two or three things are going on. One is divert attention away from the reality of what's happening. Mm-hmm. That is a tactic that I think I see a lot among politicians. But I think that attacks on the NRA are essentially an element to blame somebody else, mm-hmm. to divert the public attention to let's go after this. It was setting up a straw man, an evil entity that they can try to knock down.
But isn't this the same thing, though, they did with the Tea Parties? They took him off the field of play?
Yes.
This is so blatant that it's like, wait a minute, the NRA has, here's one of Donald Trump's key constituencies. We're going to cut him off at the ankles in a similar way that Barack Obama and, Lois Lerner, the IRS, did with the Tea Parties and other conservative groups, and probably affected, I don't know, 6 to 8 voting cycles. And even to this day, many of those never attained their tax exemption as requested, and they should have gotten, but it wasn't about to be given under a Democratic-controlled, administration.
They are. It may very well be that that's what's going on. I think that that a lot of the stuff that we see right on the surface has underlying reasons, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
The election is about extending control over two or three or four election cycles, or maybe forever.
Exactly. Well, it's like COVID, Bruce. I mean, what they're doing with COVID, the fear factor, psychological damage that's taking place over COVID-19. I'll guarantee you, if there had been a Democrat administration in play right now, which in the past there have been similar situations, you could argue, whether it's Ebola or AIDS or whatever, whatever disease that has come upon the country, it's like one big yawn. But right now, because it's the Republicans, it's a pig pile event brought to you by the mainstream media and those on the left, and to scare the holy what have you, and in the process hijack our liberties, basically.
Well, I think that's true. I really do think it's true. From where I live in the hill country of Texas, life seems to be going on pretty much as normal, although you see social distancing and masks and so forth when you go in town. But we have guests who come down from Austin and tell us what it's like living in Austin, and it's just surreal. It's just incredible.
Right.
And it goes back to, in my opinion, it goes back to fear, and it's a fear that's generated by the politicians and the press.
Well, good point, because fear is that next curve that we've got to bend. You know, we bent the disease. We had to bend the curve, for the disease as it was continuing to climb and make its impact. But we have to approach fear in the same manner, because it is debilitating and it compromises the core of our liberties. Bruce Thatcher, he's the author of Gun Mania, and more from him after this.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're talking to my good friend Bruce Thatcher, author of several books. Maybe you've followed him and you've got each one in your library, and it is excellent, because Bruce is, like me. He's got a passion for history, and this is why he founded History Speaks Today. The books that he's delivered to us over the years, Adamant Aggressors, How to Recognize and Deal with Them. This is kind of like what's happening right now. We have adamant aggressors on the streets of America, and we don't know how to deal with them. You know, we're just letting them run wild until finally they hit a nerve. As I was talking with Bruce offline, is that right now they're hitting businesses for the most part. There's been some attacks on homes. We saw what happened in St. Louis with the McCloskeys and how they took down a gate of a private residential area. And but these are all peaceful protesters somehow, even though they destroyed property. And you've got citizens protecting themselves. And because they did, they're indicted, and they're going to have to pay all kinds of money in order to remedy their situation. Thank you very much, the state of Missouri. Another book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. I mean, it is an excellent. Boy, I'll tell you, if you ever wanted to know anything about immigration and how we got in the mess that we're in, and even good immigration laws, it's right there in that book, Rise and Decline, a very powerful book that Bruce has given us, is where we are and what we can do about it. Rise and Decline, not of empire, although some empires are cited in the book, but America, you know, what is going on and where we are at this point. And of course, his latest book called Gun Mania. But, you know, Bruce, you know, these books, I mean, you have chronicled the trajectory of America. And here we're brought to this point where we have riotous behavior, lawlessness has taken place. And, you know, what's the end game here? You know, a lot of people think that, well, on November the 4th, everything will be over because of this, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, that this is a manifestation of Donald Trump's presidency. This is a manifestation of our society and the breakdown of our moral integrity, isn't it?
I think it is. It goes back about 50, 60, 70 years where it started. It goes back to our educational systems where we stopped teaching history. It's hard enough to get the lessons from history, even if you study it. Mm-hmm. But you can't get the lessons, of course, if you're not even presented with them. We stopped teaching history. We stopped teaching civics. We went to moral relativism in our attitudes about everything, so that everything is okay.
You have your truth. I have my truth. Kumbaya. It's okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so you get down to where we are today, and you say to somebody, "Well, this is not what our values are. This is a violation mm-hmm. of what America is all about." And the answer you get, I think, from a lot of people is, "Well, where do you get that?" Or, "Well, we need to change because that's all passé." Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to come against that. I talk to people who feel that way, who have grown up under that educational system. Mm-hmm. And some of them know what's happening, but a lot of them, there's just no discussing it. Their reality is whatever they feel they would like to do. Mm-hmm. And it can really hit a tipping point.
Yeah. Well, I think we're close here, Bruce. I mean, look at what's happening. Like you mentioned, gun sales have been on such an increase. I mean, we have more guns out there than population. So what does that tell you? I mean, the security of everyday Americans is in question right now. And, of course, brought to you every evening in the evening news, we see, you know, cities being burnt down and police being defunded. What do you think's going to happen? I mean, people are going to start, you know, ammoing up. They're starting to fortify. I mean, I see this. I see the signs and the trajectory, and I think, well, this is really dangerous because we're setting ourselves up. We're becoming a powder keg. That
we are.
If we can, I mean, look what happened with George Floyd. I mean, that was one powder keg that went off, but we have multiple ammunition dumps, so to speak, or potential powder kegs in different aspects of our society that could just create some catastrophic explosion that could be quite devastating. And I don't know, maybe that's where America needs to go to finally get to the point to appreciate, you know, the free America that we took for granted.
I hope that's not where we need to go, but I also fear that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. You could argue that we're in a civil war.
Yes.
It's sort of like a Cold War civil war, and has been for a few decades, mm-hmm. but it's really heating up.
Yeah, and it's all about power, Bruce, because listen, you know, listen for the Democrats. Listen to their response. It's crickets. You know, they're not offering any remedy. All they're doing is inflaming the situation all the more because, as Lindsey Graham pointed out very emotionally during the Kavanaugh hearings, if you'll recall, and clearly more and more this becomes the case, and it's becoming clearer and clearer in this year of vision 2020 that we're living in, and that is their lust for power is so evident. It's stifling.
It's incredible to see people, and I see people who get elected to go to Washington, and they're full of idealistic things they want to get done, and within about a year, most of them are sucked into the corruption of that city.
And yeah, if anything's systemic, it's that, isn't it?
It is. Good mm-hmm. point. There may be systemic problems in this country, surely there are, but that's probably right at the top of the peak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the corruption is rampant. I mean, at every turn, what we're finding out in the FBI now with these emails and, you know, investigations coming up, we're still waiting. A friend of mine had texted me yesterday and said, here we are all these months down the road, and where's the Durham report? Are we going to end up, is the Durham report going to be politicized? Is the Justice Department going to be politicized as it was under Comey, but from a different direction, and saying, oh, we can't deal with this because we're so close to election and we don't want to influence a national election. Is that what we're having to deal with, this delay? I mean, like, you can defer the truth somehow? At what expense?
Well, the reality is, I think, is that all the government agencies, the Justice Department, may be populated mostly with people who, quote, want to uphold the law and do the right things, but they've been conditioned over the years mm-hmm. to an ideology where their view of the right things is different than mm-hmm. mine is,
right?
Often, you become a pessimist. You just say, "Well, this is the way it's going to be," and so will a report come out before election? I'd bet against it.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens, Bruce. You and I have been in business. We've been around, you know, the circle enough to understand and appreciate there's organizational inertia. A lot of people want to say, well, most of the FBI, you know, they're good people, 99%. It doesn't matter. All it takes is 1%, less than 1% to ruin the whole batch here. I mean, we've got bureaucracies. We've got paradigms that have been well established that all you got to do with the truth is just circumvent it an iota, and it's no longer the truth, right?
That's right, and it becomes the propaganda and the disinformation tool mm-hmm. to serve some particular political end. You mentioned a statistic there. It just flashed back to what we talked about, the NRA. Mm-hmm. The NRA represents only about, I don't know, 6 or 8% of all the gun owners in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that if New York actually thought by getting rid of the NRA, they'd get rid of guns, they're nuts. They know better. Mm-hmm. They're getting rid of the NRA they're trying to get rid of the NRA just simply for political
exactly.
Show. And
because they know for 6 to 8%, you know, from as a political force, they have communication channels. If you take them off the field of play, you interrupt those communication channels.
That's right.
And this could have an effect on the election. I mean, we're worried about mail-in voting and all this other fraud stuff taking place. And then meanwhile, right before our very eyes, in a sense, is this manipulation in disqualifying votes and the process, right?
Right.
Also very dangerous. Bruce Thatcher, always a pleasure and honor to have you on the show. Real quick, History Speaks, the website?
HistorySpeaksToday.com.